أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Last week when we were discussing about the verse وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ رَحْمَةً مِنَّا وَذِكْرًا لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ، and we gave him back his family and something like them in addition as a mercy from us and as a reminder for the people of intellect. We discussed the issue of Raj'a, and we said that this is one of the verses that some scholars have mentioned as a proof for the possibility of Raj'a. And this brought us to the concept which is very controversial among Shia and Sunni scholars and among Shias themselves as well. So this week, inshallah, we will discuss the concept of Raj'a in a bit more detailed way. The main verses of the Quran which has always been mentioned about the issue of Raj'a are the verses at the end of Surah Naml, Surah 27, verses number 83 onwards. The verses in this surah explain very strange things, and the first very strange thing which will happen before the Day of Judgment is something mentioned in verse 82. وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ تُكَلِّمُهُمْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا لَا يُوقِنُونَ. And when the word of judgment falls upon them, we shall bring out for them an animal or a beast from the earth who shall speak to them, that the people had no faith in our signs. This is something rather similar to the beast mentioned in the Bible as well. However, it's a very strange thing, and it shows that before the Day of Judgment happens, before the trumpet is blown, strange things might happen on the earth. And one of those strange things, of course, is what is mentioned about the return of some of the dead to this world to establish justice among them. Well, we can say that justice will be established, of course, on the Day of Judgment. Why on this earth? We don't know. This is something which is possible to happen. And the verses after this verse would allude to that very strange thing as well. Now, if you look into the verses, وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُ مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ فَوْجًا مِمَّنْ يُكَذِّبُ بِآيَاتِنَا فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ. The day we shall resurrect from every nation a group of those who denied our signs. A group of those who denied our signs, not everyone. And they shall be held in check. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوا, until when they come, قَالَ أَكَذَّبْتُمْ بِآيَاتِ وَلَمْ تُحِيطُوا بِهَا عِلْمًا أَمَّاذَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. He will say, God will say, did you deny my signs without comprehending them in knowledge? What was it that you used to do? And the word of judgment shall fall upon them for their wrongdoing, and they will not speak. And then after this, in verse 87, it says, وَيَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي السُّورِ فَفَزَعَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ وَكُلٌّ أَتَوْهُ دَاخِرِينَ. The day when the trumpet will be blown, whoever is in the heavens will be terrified, and whoever is on the earth, except whoever Allah may wish. And this shows that this event will happen before the trumpet is blown. Now, this is the main chapter in the Quran and the main verses in the Quran which is mentioned by all Shia scholars and by A'imma alayhimu salam as a proof for the event of Raj'a, that there will be something, some sort of resurrection, a mini resurrection a sample of resurrection on this earth before the trumpet is blown, before the day of judgment. Well, this is of course categorically denied by Sunni scholars, saying we might not understand the meaning of these verses very well. Of course, the Shia scholars have given very forceful arguments that, of course, on the day of judgment, everyone will be resurrected. وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ وَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. We would not leave even one person to be resurrected before they are all resurrected. And here it says, يَوْمَ نَحْشُرُ مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ فَوْجًا. From every nation, we will resurrect one sample, a group of them. And they say this is, of course, something not alluding to the day of judgment. It refers to something which happens before the day of judgment, and that's Raja. Now, these are about the verses. And, of course, there are other verses which talks about the possibility of people coming back to life after death. And they are given as a support for this possibility for the Raja on the before the day of judgment. However, what specifically and directly refers to the Raja are the verses which are in the Surah Naml, as I mentioned. Now, it has become a specific idea or belief of Shia following their Imams, because the origin of this idea, the origin of such explanation of these verses are A'imma alayhimu salam. And of course, without them, even Shia scholars wouldn't have dared to come up with such an idea of saying that before the day of judgment, some people will be resurrected. And what's the reason for it, and why it would be, and who those people are. These are all things mentioned in those riwayat. So this has become a specific belief of the Shia, and has been categorically denied, ridiculed, mocked, derided by Sunni scholars, saying that, look, these Shias, what they believe in, what funny ideas they have, what funny things they tend to believe as a part of their creed. And this has been going on since the first century. And in a way, some of the Shia scholars who were otherwise very much respected by Sunni ulama, they were criticized, or they were disparaged by the fact that they believed in Raja. One of them is Jabir ibn Yazid al-Ju'fi, one of the great scholars and a companion of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, who is mentioned, of course, in Sunni books of biography of transmitters of hadith, and they have mentioned lots of things about him, good things, bad things. And one of those very, very bad things is that he was a scholar, but the point is that he believed in Raja, in the return of people, some people. Now, who those people are, we'll discuss later on. In the second century, of course, this argument was somehow more heated among the scholars. One of those incidents which is mentioned very clearly for us, of course, not all these arguments, incidents, discussions have been reported in the history for us. We just get samples of them. One of those samples is the story of Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Nu'man, who was one of the greatest companions of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, with Abu Hanifa, who were friends with each other, and they have lots of different stories, and they usually tried, whenever they met each other, although they were friends, they had completely two different type of ideas, and they tried to mock each other, to make jokes with each other about their opinions, ideas. And there are lots of stories about this Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Nu'man, who was called Shaitan by the Sunnis and Mu'min by the Shias. And this shows how, of course, controversial the person was, because he was very, very clever in theological arguments. He had a jewelry shop in a bazaar or area of Kufa, which was called, of Baghdad, which was called Taq. And the Shias called him Mu'min al-Taq, and the Sunnis called him Shaitan al-Taq, because wherever he went, he created lots of discussions, arguments, and no one could really stand his arguments when he started to argue. And he had lots of arguments with Abu Hanifa, who were friends with each other. And one of those arguments was, of course, you can imagine, about Raj'ah. And once it is said that they were talking about something, Abu Hanifa needed some money and asked Mu'min, because he was a very wealthy person as well, Mu'min al-Taq, and he said that, give me some money. And Abu Hanifa said, will you give it back to me? He said, yes, I will give it back to you, but not now. When we come back in Raj'ah, I will give it back to you. You believe that we are going to come back in Raj'ah, I will give it back to you at that time. And he said, well, give me a guarantor that you will be resurrected in Raj'ah as a human being, not as a chimp, because I wouldn't believe that you will be raised as a human being. And these type of jokes which were going among them at that time about this idea of Raj'ah. One other incident is that could be mentioned here is the story of Sayyid Ismail al-Himyari, one of the spectacular poets at the time of the Abbasid. And of course, he at the beginning he had a different type of religion. He was Kaysani. Then he became a 12er Isna'ashari, with this very famous verse of him, تَجَعْفَرْتُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ وَأَيْقَنْتُ أَنَّ اللَّهِ I forgot the verse, the second line of the verse. وَأَيْقَنْتُ أَنَّ اللَّهِ يَعْفُ وَيَغْفِرُ. Yes, this is the verse. تَجَعْفَرْتُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ وَأَيْقَنْتُ أَنَّ اللَّهِ يَعْفُ وَيَغْفِرُ, meaning that I chose the religion of Ja'far, the path of Ja'far in the name of God, and I am sure that Allah would forgive me for what I believed in the past. Now, he was very close to Mansur, this Ismail al-Himyari, and he had lots and lots of poetry about Ahlul Bayt, very famous one. He has a very, very big poem about Qadir, and the Abbasids at the beginning, of course, they were regarded to be Ahlul Bayt, so this Sayyid was very close to them. And, of course, Mansur respected him very highly, and, of course, there were other scholars around him who were not Shiis, who were Sunnis. Now, he had a judge called Sawar, the judge Sawar, and, of course, they had very big reservations about any Shia ulama who ever approached these caliphs, because they thought that they might change their type of thinking. So one day he told Mansur, this Sawar al-Ghazi told Mansur that this Himyari is a Shia. He does not believe in you. He believes in another Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet. Although he says you are from Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet as well, but he believes in another Ahlul Bayt. And of course, Sayyid defended himself. At the end, Sawar said, well, what does this Sayyid say about Raj'ah? He believes in Raj'ah. Very funny. How could you have anyone amongst your scholars in the court who believes in Raj'ah? And Mansur asked him, do you really believe in Raj'ah? And this Sawar said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, this is not my word. It is the word of the Quran. And he mentioned this verse, which I said, the origin of this explanation about the verse in Surah Naml, R.A.M. alayhimu salam. He mentioned, وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُ مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ فَوْجًا مِمَّنْ يُكَذِّبُ بِآيَاتِنَا فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ. The day we will resurrect from every group of people one sample, and they will be on the check. And you know that in the other verse Allah says, وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا. We will resurrect them and would not leave out even one person. We therefore know, this is the argument of Sayyid al-Himyari, we therefore know that there will be two resurrections, one mini resurrection, which will happen before blowing of the trumpet, and one big resurrection, which will happen after the day of resurrection. And this is, of course, something that convinced Mansur, at least, not to take any action against against this Sayyid Ismail al-Himyari. Now, the Shi'i ulama have actually authored independent books about Raj'ah as well. One of the most famous ones is the book compiled by Shaykh Hur al-Amili, very famous, of course, a scholar of the 11th century, 10th and 11th century, the author of Wasa'il al-Shi'a, who is, of course, still in full use by our mujtahidun. He called his book Iqad al-Iqadu min al-Haj'a bil-Burhani ala al-Raj'a, Awakening from the Slumber by Arguments in Favor of Raj'a. And in that book, he mentions 600 hadith. And of course, a scholar like Shaykh Hur al-Amili, who was very scrupulous about the type of ahadith that he used, the type of ahadith that he brought in his books, he did not use weak hadith. He used ahadith which were reliable, which were could be authenticated through very old sources. So 600 hadith he has brought in that book, and 64 verses of the Quran he mentions. 64 verses of the Quran, of course, is really a great number if we want to support an idea. And the issue has been discussed by Sunni ulama, those of whom who had some sort of understanding and sympathy towards Shia scholars, of course, have given some sort of balanced judgment about the issue. Now, one of them I mentioned is Ibn Abi al-Hadid, who, of course, was a Mu'tazilite scholar, and he has written this huge commentary on Nahj al-Balagha. In that commentary, when he talks about, because there are lots of references to this idea in Nahj al-Balagha as well. Now, he comes to one of these references in Nahj al-Balagha about Raj'a in that khutbah that Amir al-Mu'mineen says, فَانْظُرُوا أَهْلَ بَيْتَ نَبِيَّكُمْ. Have your eyes on the Ahlul Bayt of your Prophet, فَإِنْ لَبُدُوا فَالْبُدُوا. If they sit, you sit. If they rise, you rise. وَإِنْ اسْتَنْصَرُوكُمْ فَانْصُرُوهُمْ. And if they need your help, if they ask for your help, you help them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will one day remove this fitna which has been created against us. And then Amirul Mu'minin says, of course, this, then he mentions a follow-up for this khutbah. Up to here, فَلَيُفَرِّجَنَّ اللَّهُ الْفِتْنَ بِرَجُلٍ مِّنَّا أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Allah will remove this fitna one day from a member of our family of Ahlul Bayt. This is the part which Sayyid Razi has brought in Nahj al-Balagha. Ibn Abi al-Hadid says there is a follow-up for this. Of course, Sayyid al-Razi has not mentioned all this khutbah. And then he says the follow-up is this. بِأَبِي إِبْنِ خِيَارَةِ الْإِمَاء. May my father be sacrificed for the son of the best slave maidens, meaning Narjis, of course, the mother of the 12th Imam. لَا يُعْطِيهِمْ illa saif, he will not give them but sword, meaning that he will rise with sword mawdu'an ala atiqihi thamaniyata ashhur. He will put that sword on his shoulder for 8 months, until, meaning he will fight for 8 months, hatta taqula quraishun law kana hadha min wuld fatima la rahimana, until he fights to the extent that the Quraysh will say, if this man was one of the children of Fatima, he would have had mercy upon us. Meaning that he is going to fight without mercy. Well, this is how the khutbah says. حَتَّى تَقُولَ قُرَيْشٌ تَقُولَ قُرَيْشٌ لَوْ كَانَ هَذَا مِنْ فُلْوَلْدِ فَاتِمَ لَرَحِمَنَا. Quraysh will say, if this was one of the children of Fatima, he would have had mercy upon us. يُغْرِيهِ اللَّهُ بِبَنِي أُمَيَّ حَتَّى يَجْعَلَهُمْ حُطَامًا وَرُفَاتًا. Allah would instigate him against Bani Umayyah, would move him against Bani Umayyah, until he will put them hutaman wa rufaa, makes them dust and dry weeds, meaning will kill all of them. مَلْعُونِينَ أَيْنَمَا ثُقِفُوا أُخِذُوا وَقُتَّلُوا تَقْتِيلًا. And this is a verse from the Quran. They are cursed wherever they are found. They are found, they will be killed in the most severe type of killing. سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ فِي الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِ. The verse from the Quran. Now, Ibn Abil Hadith says, first of all, who is this man that Amirul Mu'mineen is talking about? This Ibn Khiyarat al-Ima, that Amirul Mu'minin says, Ba'abi Ibn Khiyarat al-Ima, may my father be sacrificed, be ransomed for the son of the best of the slave maidens. He says that, well, we have two opinions here. If I want to talk according to the opinion of the Imamiyya, meaning the Ithna Ashar, right? They think, فَيَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُ إِمَامُهُمُ الثَّانِي عَشَرِ. They think that is their 12th Imam. And they think that this خِيَارَةُ الْإِمَاء, this best of the slave maidens, is Narjis. And this is their opinion. أَمَّا أَصْحَابُنَا. However, our scholars, the scholars, Mu'tazilite scholars, and mainly the Sunni scholars, فَيَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُ فَاطِمِيٌ. They think, of course, this is one of the Fatimites, a children of the Fatima, one of the descendants of Fatima, yuladu fi mustaqbal zaman. He will be born in future. Our scholars don't think that this man, Mahdi, is yet born. They think that he will be born in future, and he will be born from a slave maiden, l'umma waladin. Now, of course, Ibn Abil Hadid, when he wrote this, he didn't know that the slavery will be abolished one day, and there wouldn't be any slave maiden. Well, maybe it returns, we don't know. But this is something that he thought that it will continue. And he says that this Imam does not live now. It does not exist now. Now, then he says, well, one of the more difficult questions is, فَإِنْ قِيلْ فَمَنْ يَكُونُ مِنْ بَنِي أُمَيَّ فِي ذَلِكَ الْوَقْتِ مَوْجُودًا. Then this Bani Umayyah that he will fight against them and he will kill them, who are they? Because now we know that Bani Umayyah have no power. We even don't know their descendants anymore. How would we talk about Bani Umayyah at that time when this Ibn Khiyarat al-Ima comes? And who are these Bani Umayyah at that time that Amirul Mu'minin is talking about this revenge from them and establishing justice about them? He says, now, okay, again, the Imamiyya, if you talk about Imamiyya, the Ithna Asharis, how they think about it, they say, of course, they will come back in Raj'ah. They will be the same Banu Umayya at the time of Ali and Hassan and Hussein alayhim as-salam, and they will come back. This is what the Imamiyya say. So it was very famous at the time of Ibn Abil Hadid in the 7th century that the Imamiyya thought that the Banu Umayya of that, those who really, really done all those injustices will come back one day. And then, of course, the people from this side will come back and Allah would establish justice by revenging from Banu Umayya and by giving the A'imma their rights. And he says that, and these Imamiyya, they think, وَيَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُ سَيُعَادُ قَوْمٌ بِأَعْيَانِهِمْ مِنْ بَنِي أُمَيَّ وَغَيْرِهِمْ إِذَا ذَهَرَ إِمَامُهُمُ الْمُنْتَذَرُ. And they think that when their awaited Imam comes, some people, specifically with the specific personalities from Banu Umayya, will come back. And of course, this Imam al-Muntadhar yantaqim min a'da'i al Muhammad alayhi salam al-mutaqaddimina wal-mutaakhirin. And he will avenge what happened to al Muhammad alayhi salam, avenge the enemies, take the revenge from the enemies, from people of the past and those who came after them. وَأَمَّا أَصْحَابُنَا. Now, our scholars believe, this of course meaning Sunni scholars, or specifically Mu'tazilite scholars, فَيَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّهُ سَيَخْلُقُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي آخَرِ الزَّمَانِ رَجُلًا مِنْ وَلْدِ فَاطِمَةِ. Okay, we believe that at the end of the time, at the end, when the Mahdi is going to come, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create a man from the descendants of Fatima who does not live at the moment. And وَأَنَّهُ لَيَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ عَدْلًا قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا كَمَا مُلِئَتْ جَوْرًا وَظُلْمًا, the hadith of the Prophet. He will fill the earth with justice and equity as it after it is filled with oppression and wrongdoing. And he will avenge, he will take revenge from ظالمين, and he will punish them with the most severe type of punishment. وَأَنَّهُ لِأُمِّ وَلَدْ, because this is, of course, very famous in Rawaya. And he will be the son of a slave maiden, as it is reported in lots of traditions. And وَأَنَّ إِسْمُهُ Muhammad, and his name is Muhammad. كَسْمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, like the name of the Prophet. This is what we believe, the Mu'tazilites. And then he says, and someone from descendants of Banu Umayyah will come as well. This is our belief, who do not believe in Raj'ah. Someone from the descendants of Banu Umayyah will come as well. And he is called Sufyani because he is from the descendants of Abu Sufyan. And this is why he is called Sufyani. And he says, this is what has been reported fil khabar sahih, in an authentic tradition, this has been mentioned. And this Imam al-Fatimi will kill that person who is from the descendants of Sufyani. وَحِينَ إِذٍ يَنْزِلُ الْمَسِيحِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, and at this time, Masih will descend from the heavens, and the ashratu sa'a, the signs of the day of judgment would appear, وَتَذْهَرُ دَابَّةُ الْأَرْضِ, and that beast, which Quran talks, will appear as well, and وَيَبْتُلُ التَّكْلِيفِ, the taklif will be removed, and وَيَتَحَقَّ قِيَامُ الْأَجْسَادِ عِنْدَ نَفْخِ السُّورِ, and then afterwards, when the trumpet is blown, then the ajsad, the bodies of human beings will be formed and they will be raised and resurrected. So, what we gather from what Ibn Abi al-Hadid says is that Ibn Abi al-Hadid, first of all, mentions something which is historically very important for us, and that is the established opinion of Shia of his time, that there will be raj'ah, there will be a mini resurrection before the day of resurrection. Some people will come back. And, of course, there will be a revenge by Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet from the Banu Umayyah, which he says, of course, it will be for the descendants of Ahlul Bayt, from the descendants of Banu Umayyah, those of whom will be Zalimun at that time. Now, I want to quote almost a relatively long quotation from Al-I'tiqadat of Shaykh al-Saduq, because this is a very, very important book about how Shia believed in their articles of creed by a very prominent personality, a traditionist, and someone who was very close to the time of A'imma alayhim as-salam, because he lived in the 4th century, and also someone who has been always respected among Shia scholars. In his book Al-I'tiqadat, or I'tiqadatul Imamiyyah, the Imamiyya creeds, he says that Babul I'tiqad fi Raj'ah, a chapter, he has dedicated a chapter on belief in Raj'ah. And he says, اعتقادنا في الرجعة أنها حق. Our belief in Raj'ah is that it is true. As I said, Shia ulama have always been somehow derided for this belief, but they have somehow relied on the riwayat which has come from A'imma alayhim as-salam. And if the coming of an animal, creating an animal out of earth, is possible at the day of judgment, which talks to people, وإذا وقع القول عليهم أخرجنا لهم دابة من الأرض تكلمهم. If this is possible, then everything would be possible before the day of judgment, because we do not know what type of events are going to happen. He says, our belief in Raj'ah is that it's true. And then he says, وَقَدْ قَالَ تَعَالَى. It's interesting because he bases the main argument on the verses of the Quran. Now, he says, he does not mention that verse of Surah Naml at the beginning, which is the main source for the belief in Raj'ah. He brings those verses which talk about the possibility of Raj'ah and the very happening of Raj'ah in the previous nations. He says, وَقَدْ قَالَ تَعَالَى أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَهُمْ أُلُوفٌ. This is what we mentioned last week. Did you not see those people who deserted their homeland or their cities, their houses, and they were thousands in number, حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ, fearing from death. فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُوا ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ. Then Allah told them, said to them, die. And they died, and then Allah gave them life again. This is in Surah Baqarah, verse number 243. And then he says, these people were 70,000. They came out of the city because they feared plague. And this plague was visiting them every year. The poor people had to stay in the city. The rich people went to their resorts outside the city. And after the plague was gone, they came back. And one year they decided all of them, they go out of that fear. We don't know what's the real story, the true story about it. Why, when they came out of the city, Allah told them die, made them to die. And then why did he resurrect them again? Of course, he mentions why Allah resurrected them again, but we don't know really why, when they came out of their town, Allah told them to die. And he says that one year they decided that all of them would desert their town and go out, not coming back probably at all to that city anymore. فَأَجْمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَخْرُجُوا جَمِيعًا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ فَخَرَجُوا بَأَجْمَعِهِمْ. All of them left the city, and they came in a coastal place, عَلَىٰ شَتَّ بَحْرٍ. When they wanted to set up some tents and camp there, فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُوا. Allah made all of them die. Maybe something happened. The plague came with them, or anything. We don't know. They died due to one reason. And then he says that the people who were living in the vicinity, they were somehow annoyed by the smell and these things, and therefore they couldn't bury all 70,000 people. It was very difficult. They just somehow removed the bodies and put them in a faraway place, and they stayed there, we don't know how long, until ثم مر بهم نبي من أنبياء بني إسرائيل يقال له أرميا. It's أرميا, the prophet. And he passed by, and he saw that these 70,000 people were dead. And he said, قال لو شئت يا رب لأحييتهم فَيَأْمُرُوا بِلَادَكَ. Apparently this Aramea was helpless. He didn't have anyone to help him. He said, my Lord, if you wish, you can give these people life to come and help me. And they will somehow bring cultivation to your lands. And وَيَلَدُوا عِبَادَكَ وَعَبَدُوكَ مَعَ مَنْ يَعْبُدُكَ. And they will worship you with those who worship you, meaning they come and help me and something like that. And Allah gave them life. Okay, this is a story. If you want to know the details of it, of course, we have to make an independent research about it. What were the details of the story? And Allah gave them life. He says this is one instant of Raja. And then he says, أَوْ كَالَّذِي مَرَّ عَلَىٰ قَرْيَةً وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ أُرُوشِهَا. Another story that Prophet Uzair, when he passed by a city, he saw that it was destroyed, people were dead, and he said, my Lord, how do you give life back to these dead people? And Allah made himself to die for 100 years, and he raised them again. And then he says, and another story is the story of those 70 people who were selected by Musa to go to the tour, to his miqat, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of their impudence, made them die. ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَوْتِكُمْ. Allah says, then we gave you life after you died. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And then he says, those people were given life by Isa alayhi salam. They all came back from the other life. And this is, again, other incidents of Raj'a. And he mentions Ashab al-Kahf as well. He says that 300 years, they died in their cave, and then Allah gave them life again. And then he says, وَمِثْلُ هَذَا كَثِيرٌ. We have many other incidents like this. Some of them mentioned in the Quran in addition to these, and some of them mentioned in the traditions. وَقَدْ سَحَّ أَنَّ الرَّجْعَ كَانَتْ فِي الْأُمَمِ السَّالِفَةِ. And therefore, we can know for sure that Raj'a did take place in the previous nations. And add to this what the Prophet have said. وَقَالَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I'm still quoting from Saduq. وَقَالَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَكُونُ فِي هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ مِثْلُ مَا يَكُونُ فِي الْأُمَمِ السَّالِفَةِ حَذْوَ النَّعْلِ بِالنَّعْلِ وَالْقِذَّةِ بِالْقِذَّةِ. Everything that happened in the previous nation will happen in this nation as well. Step for step. And anything, any small trivial incident that happened in the previous nation will happen in this nation. And if Raj'a has happened in the previous nations, it should happen in this nation as well. And therefore, this is a proof from the Quran that the Raj'a will take place in this life and in this ummah as well. And then at the end, he mentions the verses from Surah An-Naml, which are the main source for the argument for Raj'a. Okay, I have to finish here, but the story is not finished yet, because the main story is, what is that Raj'a which takes place? Who are those people who come back? What is the opinion of Shia about it? I have to leave this for 2 weeks' time, because I will not be here next week, inshallah. Thank you. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahiri.
Alaykum as-salam. Thank you very much for that lecture. Sheikh, I'm still not quite sure about the Sunni belief of the Mahdi. Do they believe that it's a divine creation, that some of the Bani Umayyah will return? Or could you just clarify that a little bit?
They believe that Mahdi will come, according to the traditions of the Prophet, peace be on him. But they do not believe that Mahdi is born. They believe that someone from the descendants of the Prophet will come, whose name is Mahdi, and whose nickname is Mahdi, and his name is like the name of the Prophet. And the exact expression of the Prophet, which is reported in our traditions as well, يَمْلَأُ الْأَرْضَ قِسْطًا وَعَدْلًا بَعْدَمَا مُلَاتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوْرًا. He will fill the earth with justice and equity after it is filled with wrongdoing and oppression. This is what they believe. And the riwayat about the descent of Isa alayhi salam as well comes in their akhbar. It doesn't appear in Shia akhbar. However, the Shia scholars have approved or have actually sought the possibility of that, and they do not deny it. And there are very detailed traditions about when Mahdi comes, what will he do, how would he establish justice. But the belief is that he certainly is not the 12th Shi'i Imam, and he will be someone that who will be born in future.
Sheikh, it seems that the Raj'a that we believe in is because our Imams were deprived of their rights, then that there would be sort of return with the, those despotic rulers, and hence the Imams would be able to rule over them and punish them. That's what it seems like. Whereas the examples of the Raja given in the Quran doesn't mention about this kind of ruling which they had suffered. Probably just to get the example in the Quran, just to give some kind of example of Raja, but nothing to do with the deprivation of the rights and hence the ruling over other sort of despotic rulers. Is that, that's what I understand in comparison, is that
true? Yeah, of course. There are always different reasons for these different incidents of Raja. I mean, for example, in the case of Ayyub, it was because Ayyub was somehow tried by Shaitan, as he says, that I was tried. And his children were given back to him due to that reason. In those people selected by Musa alayhi salam, the reason they were brought back to life was because Musa was afraid that if he goes back to his people, having killed 70 of the best chosen people of Banu Israel, they would not believe him that they died out of a sin that they committed or because of a thunderstorm or something like that, thunderstrike. And therefore, Allah gave them life again. In the case of those 70,000 going out of their city, we don't know what was the reason Allah gave them life, but they came to help Eremia, for example. So there are different causes for it. But the main thing is that there has been Raj'a previously, and why should we believe that there wouldn't be a Raja in this nation, although the cause might be different? This is what the ulama have actually pointed out, that if there was the possibility of this previously, and if Prophet said that things that happened in previous nation would happen in this nation, so we shouldn't rule out the possibility of Raja. However, they have mentioned the belief in Raja is not one of the constituents of Shi'i faith. It means that if someone does not believe in Raja, we don't rule out, we don't say that he is not a Shi'i. It's not a constituent of Islamic faith as well. If someone does not believe in Raja, we don't say that they are not Muslims. And we do not say that they are not Shias. It is something that have common traditions, and we may believe in it. It has happened in previous ummahs, and therefore we shouldn't rule out the possibility. This is the extent of the opinion mentioned by Shia scholars.
Thank you. Yeah, so it means that the main emphasis on our belief on the Raja of the Imams and other companions is that they want to take the, because of their, because they were deprived of their rights, Allah will give them right.
You see, one of the main causes of resurrecting the whole human being, which is mentioned in the Quran, is because some people were deprived of their rights and Allah would want to establish justice. Isn't it? It is given about the day of resurrection as well. So it doesn't, we shouldn't feel that it's very strange if Allah wants to establish justice somewhere about the dead. And if he is going to establish that on the day of judgment after they come back, all of them, it might be the case that someday on this earth as well, as a mini type of resurrection, as a type of example of what is going to happen on the day of judgment, Allah would show that on this earth as well. When we come to the concept of those who will be resurrected, I think this will be more clarified, because we haven't come to that yet. And especially Shaykh al-Mufid has very strong opinions about it. So after I will mention the opinions of Sheikh al-Mufid about it and the traditions that he mentions about who will come back and who will not come back, then I think that will be made a bit more clear, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. About the believing of Imam Mahdi, some of the group of the Sunni do believe he exists. And one of the sheikh in Malaysia, which I personally visited him, he clarified for me that he's in touch with him. And his group usually comes over here and stay with us. So, and they are from the Shafi'is group. I don't know your knowledge about some other group of Sunni. If you have, give it to us.
Yes, there are some group of Sunnis who believe that Mahdi is alive and they are in touch with him. I personally knew a Turkish sheikh who said that he was in touch with Imam Mahdi, alayhi salam, and he was not Shafi'i actually. But of course, these people are completely regarded as outcasts or out of the mainstream belief of the Sunni understanding of Mahdi alayhi salam, because the prominent scholars of Sunni faith, they never have believed that Imam Mahdi is the 12th Imam or someone who lives at the moment. Yes, some of them, as I said, not the mainstream scholars, and these people are usually castigated by the mainstream scholars of Sunni. Some of them believe that Mahdi is now born. Not that he was born before, that Mahdi is now born, and his appearance, not reappearance, because they do not believe in reappearance, his appearance is imminent, and they are in touch with them. But certainly, as Sunni scholars deny them, she should deny them, because anyone claiming that they are in touch or in contact with Imam Mahdi alayhi salam should be denied. And this is what the mainstream Shia scholars believe as well.
This particular sheikh believed that Khomeini is the one after Imam Mahdi. And when he died, then he claimed that, no, I'm going to be after that one. So there are stories.
Yes.
Inshallah, I will invite the group of you. Interesting people, inshallah. I just wanted to give the knowledge to other sisters and brothers. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, sister. Come in.
Inviting the false Imam Mahdi here, huh? Yeah.
Well, they believe, but we believe funny things. Or the other things, you know, what is the benefit of believing Raja anyway? What would it do to present life? I mean, would that help us to establish Islam? Can he save us from the sinuses and Bush and Blair? What are we going to do if to believe that?
No, and that's, there is no benefit. I mean, there is no direct relation between that belief and our daily life. However, what's the benefit of believing that on the day before the day of judgment, Allah will create a beast from the earth, from the stone, and that beast will talk to people? This is mentioned in the Quran. I mean, these are things which are mentioned, and we want to clarify for ourselves what do they mean, why these are mentioned, what's the benefit of it? We don't know. What's the benefit of talking about the details of what is going to happen on the day of judgment, for example, the day of resurrection? Allah mentioned many of them for us. What's the benefit of knowing what type of fruits are there in paradise, for example? Why Allah tells us that فِيهَمَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَنَخْلٌ وَرُمَّانٌ, palms and pomegranates. I mean, even without knowing that there are palms and pomegranates in paradise, we would believe in paradise and we want to go to paradise. It's a good place. It's a nice place. But why God mentions that there are pomegranates there? Because these are realities. These are parts of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah has mentioned them. And since Allah has mentioned them, we cannot say, okay, Allah said in the Quran, has said in the Quran that one day we will resurrect some people before the day of judgment. And then we say, okay, since this is useless, we just put it aside. Do not discuss it. Do not talk about it. These come into the theology. And since they are mentioned in the Quran, we have to clarify and to somehow make clear for ourselves what this means, what do we believe in this regard, what will happen. And of course, in the past, at the time of A'imma, this idea in Raj'a had a great impact on the morale of the Shiite, because they thought that if Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam are the Imams supported by Allah, why they are in such a trouble, why Allah does not help them, why they are so desperate in on this earth, so lonely among the human beings, why others are given support, these are not given support. So when A'imma mentioned that, do not worry, one day everything will change, it would have had some impact. Although nowadays, of course, we have only to discuss what the opinion, the idea means for us. Alaykum as-salam.
Thank you for the lecture. You mentioned that Sheikh Saduq said that the people of Ashabi Kaf is also an example of Raja. So if you go to see, then even when we sleep, yeah, and we wake up in the morning or whatever, is like a small example of Raja, because if we go to sleep, yeah, there's a chance whether we're going to die or we're going to wake up. So by us waking up is, I don't know, maybe my opinion, maybe
a mini Raja.
Yeah, mini Raja.
I don't know. So Raja is a mini Qiyamah, and our sleep is a mini, our waking up is a mini Raja. Yes, of course.
You know, you mentioned about the Raja, and it will be only a group of people who will be raised, and if it is a group, it will be a special kind of people. Is there anything that we can say that when we say that we be the part of the people who will help Imam Mahdi, and it is that we wish that we could come back in Raja, is there any significance or any...
We wish... well, of course, لَيْسَ بَعَمَانِيَكُمْ. It's not by wish, of course. It's what the traditions say. Of course, we will discuss this in full. Those people who are alive in Barzakh, they will come back. Those people who are asleep in Barzakh, they would not come back. And those people who are alive in Barzakh are مَنْ مَحَّذَ الْإِيمَانَ مَحْذًا. Those are who are purely mu'min. وَمَنْ مَحَّذَ الْكُفْرَ مَحْذًا. Those who are purely evil. Otherwise, no one else would come back. It's just these two purely type of people who will come back, who are now alive in the Barzakh, who are either being punished or being rewarded by Allah. And then they will come back to somehow make that rehearsal of the Day of Judgments on the earth. That's how Allah is going to take right from the oppressor and give it to the oppressed.
Alaykum, Sheikh.
Alaykum as-salam.
In the Quran we find, وَنُرِيدُ أَنَّ مُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. Can this verse be used to help us debate this issue of Raja? And when Allah says, وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ, we'll make them inheritors, is this inheritance, successorship to the prophethood, or is this Raja, inheritance of the earth?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question, because there are many verses that we can actually think that it talks about Raj'a. Like this verse of Surah Qasas, وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Of course, the case of the case in discussion in the verse are Banu Israel with Pharaoh. So it doesn't talk about Raj'a actually. There was another verse the other day. I was thinking that it might refer to Raj'a, and that was وَحَرَامٌ عَلَى قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. No generation, they would not come back after we have destroyed them. حَتَّى إِذَا فُتَحَ لِيَأْجُوجُ وَمَأْجُوجُ, until that dam of Ya'juj and Ma'juj is broken. I thought that this might be about Raj'a, but when I referred to the traditions and to the tafsir, I said that A'imma alayhi salam have not mentioned anything, have mentioned the verse and have talked about it, but they haven't said that this is about Raj'a. And this is very important, because we might imagine many things about different verses, but we have to somehow, when we want to to infer such very important concepts from them, we have to see whether A'imma have mentioned that at all or not. And this verse has not been mentioned as one of the proofs of Raj'a by A'imma or by any scholar. Usually our scholars follow the A'imma explanation of these verses.
Because this verse has been mentioned in Du'a Nutba, could this be, then, does this refer to successorship of the Prophet then? That they made Imams after the Prophet maybe?
They say this is something which allude to as well, allude to the coming of Mahdi alayhi salam and establishing justice and of course the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet, which is symbolified in Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, will inherit the earth. But no explanation about Raj'a by A'imma, or this, the verse is not mentioned as one of the verses which would prove Raj'a by A'imma alayhi salam.
Riyad, then we'll go back to the sisters.
Salaam alaikum, Shaykh.
Alaikum salam.
Thank you. It's quite a hornet's nest that we have started discussing today. The feeling generally is that you need another hour on this subject before you can face the full brunt of questioning, like, because the resurrection is what we're talking about here, and how detailed it is with the Shias. Notwithstanding that, we have a lot of hearsay about this. I mean, it's a part of every religion, resurrection, yeah? Coming back.
Yeah.
Now, how it's been expounded, how does it relate to the coming of the Mahdi? How does it relate to the coming back of Isa? I think it is one of those that I heard when I was a kid, that they also believe that Isa is coming back. In the Sikhs, they have this Data that's supposed to come back to earth. So resurrection is a part of every religion. It's just that what the Shias believe in seems to be a little bit more complicated than most religions.
You mean the Raj'a?
The Raj'a, exactly. Yeah. So being the case. Now, if you could, when you finish after the 2 weeks' time, if you could put things into perspective, maybe later on is a better time to do it, to put the coming of the Mahdi in perspective with the Raj'a, in perspective with anything else that's coming and that we should be ready for, you know, so to the Qiyamah, because it seems like I was misguided in thinking that Qiyamah was a long way away from the coming of the Mahdi. Mahdi will come, establish his rule, and then Qiyamah is maybe, you know, 10,000 years after that.
Yeah.
And I just heard you saying quite the opposite, am I right?
Well, of course, the time scales, well, inshallah, in 2 weeks' time we'll discuss these issues, but the time scale of course, something that we cannot talk about, because وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُونَ. One day with your Lord is like 1,000 years of yours. So we cannot really, when we say it's close, I mean, when the Prophet came, Prophet of Islam was one of the signs of the closeness of resurrection. And now 1,400 years has passed, and still we don't think that resurrection is going to come soon. Or at the time of the Prophet, Quran says, اقتربت الساعة, the resurrection has come close. We don't know how to put that time scale into our own time scale. It's very, of course, difficult. Might take 10,000 years after Mahdi, 1,000 years, a few hundred years, we don't know, or million years. First of all, we don't know how long the earth has been created, how long the human being has been created. And when we say Mahdi comes at the end of the time, do we mean after, for example, 10 billion years that human being is created, and then he would be 100,000 years before resurrection? Or do we mean something different? We really don't know. Just I mentioned something very interesting in this regard. They say that once one of the awliya was whispering with the Lord, or one of the anbiya, and he said, "My Lord, tell me how long has passed for you since you have created the whole world, right at the beginning when you started to create the heavens and the earth, until now, how long has it seemed to you that is past?" He said, 1 minute.
Yes.
Not long. He said, "My Lord, okay, if this is your scale, then how much worth is what you have created in the heavens and the earth from gold and silver and all type of precious things, precious stones, and whatever you have created, how much does it worth in your eyes? He said, 1 dirham. Not much. He said, Allah, so give me 1 dirham, please. And Allah said, wait 1 minute, I will give it to you.
Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad Salawat.